Welcome to Behind the Mask, WNYO's podcast uncovering the latest updates on COVID-19 worldwide. I'm your host, Tomas Rodriguez. Season 2, Episode 2 of Behind the Mask features Clarissa Karki, a student of Nepal who arrived at Oswego this fall. As for Nepal, many people lost their jobs during the pandemic, resulting in food and supply shortages. But to learn more about what restrictive measures and penalties were put in place there, we are joined by Clarissa. Hi, Clarissa. How are you doing today?
Hi, Tomas. I'm doing great. How are you?
It's going, you know, it's another busy Friday. Thank you for joining Behind the Mask for this episode.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So you're from Nepal and you recently came here to Oswego. So What was that journey like, and what was it like in Nepal during the pandemic?
Oh, okay. The journey was awful. I just have to say that because I was stuck in a 40-hour flight. I had two transits, one in Turkey, 10 hours, another in JFK, 3.5 hours. It was awful, but I'd say it was worth it. I am very happy at Oswego. I love it here. And I'm excited to, join all these student organizations and learn about broadcasting and more. In Nepal, it's pretty much the same. The pandemic's a little bit overwhelming. The vaccine rates aren't as high, but I'd say it's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. And toward the beginning of the pandemic, one of the challenges was because Nepal is so close to India, that the crisis that happened in India kind of impacted Nepal. What was that like for you and your family?
So the thing is, Nepal is between India and China, two huge countries, right? China is obviously where the virus originated from, but we didn't have as much of a big impact from China because the government, the Chinese government was very much strict about, getting everyone tested and quarantining and everything. But we have an open border between India and Nepal. So as soon as the virus started getting extremely active in India, the trend followed in Nepal. And the situation was horrible. It was horrible. We didn't have enough beds. We didn't have enough ventilators. It's still a problem right now. But the vaccine rates aren't as high because Nepal does not produce any vaccines. And almost all the vaccines that come to Nepal are basically donated by other countries. At this point, we're trying to buy as many vaccines as possible, but they're just not available for selling. And I'm actually very surprised looking at the vaccine rates in America, because here people are getting paid for getting vaccines. Oh, you want to get a vaccine? Here's $100 and this and that. I'm like, people are in Nepal are dying to get vaccines. So it's kind of a shocking experience here, to be very honest.
And what was it like, once the pandemic started, what was life like, in Nepal? Like, how did it change from before the pandemic to once it started? Kind of like, what restrictions were in place and what was life like?
Mm-hmm. So Nepal went to a complete lockdown from March 2020 to July 2020. That was the first round of lockdown, which was very strict. We couldn't get out of our houses aside from, getting groceries at a very particular time. And even there, we had extremely strict regulations to follow. But the literacy rate in Nepal is not as high. So I think around 60% of the people in Nepal are literate. So People just didn't understand that this is a virus and this affects the health of people. People just would, roam around without masks, without sanitizing. So that was a little bit of a problem at first when people really didn't know if it was a very dangerous virus, because people really, even now, there are a lot of people who are like, this is just a flu. It's not as serious, but it is a serious virus. It is a serious public health crisis, right? Coming back to your question about how it impacted our lives, the general population is, Nepal is a very developing country. It is in a very slow pace of development. So a lot of organizations, a lot of public facilities are not available online. So when all of that had to overnight switch into online remote operations, that was a huge problem, because most people were left unemployed. Even people who had a very secure job, a very nice in very nice companies, they were left unemployed because people couldn't work remotely. Those the protocols, the resources just weren't set immediately. So that was a little bit of a problem initially, I'd say.
And you mentioned that Nepal has an open border with India. Once the Delta variant, kind of grew into what it is today, how did that exponential growth of the Delta variant in India impact, Nepal and the economy? In the supplies that were making its way, making their way across the border.
So the main way through the main way the virus, I think, crossed the borders was because a lot of people, a lot of Nepali people, go to India for work. Since we have an open border, there are a lot of migrant Nepalese workers in India and vice versa. So when the lockdowns were put in, when the government announced the countrywide lockdowns in both countries, people wanted to return home to their families, and that is when people just did not get tested. It was a huge it was a huge amount of people who tried to, go from India to Nepal or Nepal to India, and then the government just couldn't manage with the testing. So people were crossing the borders without getting tested and then transmitting the virus. People ran away from quarantine facilities. They thought it was a prison, right? So that is essentially how the virus got around. And regarding the economy, Nepal is in a very fragile situation right now. We currently have the lowest GDP rate in 10 years. And also, most people are unemployed. There have been food shortages in Nepal. A lot of people in Nepal, mostly the minimum wage workers, the low income group, have been affected because they usually work on a daily wage basis. So most of that kind of work has just been put on halt because companies are losing their revenues and they just don't want to carry out work, the kind of work that isn't very immediately essential. So people who have been impacted the most, I think, would be the low-income workers.
And once, as you were mentioning, people traveling from Nepal to India and people crossing from India into Nepal, what kind of restrictive measures did the government put in place to mitigate the spread of the virus? And what kind of penalty or fine would someone face, if they didn't abide by those rules?
Oh, it's kind of funny because in the beginning phase of the pandemic, when the virus wasn't around, it was basically one case per day or two case per day in the entire country. So that was when the government imposed the most strictest form of lockdown. And I'm going to tell you the details. What was a very strict lockdown? What was the penalty? So people who got out of their houses had to do 30 sit-ups, in front of the police. That was the penalty, because people wouldn't pay fines, or people just would run away without paying fines, and that is just not done in Nepal. So that was the most severe form of penalty people were asked to do. So you can imagine how the virus, how people might, not pay attention to those stuff. And later on, when crossing the borders, we didn't have enough testing kits. So the government basically just took temperatures and let people cross the borders if they didn't have a fever. That's it. And then they were asked to quarantine for 14 days in quarantine facilities, but people would just run away from those quarantine facilities and go to their homes.
And what was that like for you as a college student? How did you live through that situation?
So I was actually supposed to come to Oswego for fall 2020. The embassy in Nepal, the American embassy in Nepal, shut down in March 2020. So I there was no way for me to secure a visa and get here last year. So I was delayed by an entire year because of the pandemic. But the entire year, I couldn't even go out and get some internships, or try out different places or travel, because there's a pandemic going by. People who actually have jobs are losing jobs. So people just didn't hire anyone at all. And I'm a very avid trekker and hiker. I love trekking to the Himalayas, and since Nepal is a Himalayan country, I really love trekking. So most of the year, what I did was I got a COVID test, and as soon as the results were negative, I would go to the Himalayas and trek along the Himalayas with my dad. But apart from that, it was pretty much stay at home, watch Netflix, listen to songs, read books. That was pretty much about it.
And what was it like, scheduling a PCR or a test? And was that one of the products they had a shortage of?
Initially, yes. Now it's pretty much it's not a big of a hassle to secure those products, but initially, yes. And still, I don't think we register. I don't think anyone, any government healthcare facilities or any other healthcare facilities are permitted to, do the cheek swabs and stuff that we at Oswego have been doing, because almost every test I've done is either through nose. They just shove the swab inside our nose and to our throat, and the mouth swab, the one that they just shove it down our throat. So that was about it. I used to do that almost once every month. Horrible experience, but I had to do it, right?
And was that a government regulation that you had to
Yeah.
do it like a monthly
Oh
basis?
no. Only if we were traveling via airplane or bus,
Okay.
crossing the district. I mean, inside the district, if even if we're traveling from buses, we didn't have to do it. But as soon as we crossed our district, we had to do a COVID test.
And what was it like crossing from one district to a different district? Were there different restrictive measures in one district versus a
Not
different one?
real. Not really. It was pretty loose, the regulation. And I actually secured my student visa from India. The embassy in Nepal had still not opened up by the time I was pretty much very late to arrive at Oswego. So I had to go to India and get my visa. So that was a pretty intense experience, because when I went to India for getting my visa, That was around the time, exactly the time when there was a Delta variant, that the India had there was a second round of virus spread in India, in Delhi specifically.
And what was it like, when you finally got your visa? What was it like, making your way here to the US?
Honestly, the hardest part was to get a visa. That was the hardest part. After that, I just booked a plane ticket back to my home, and then I booked another plane ticket back, a plane ticket to Oswego. That was it. The scary part was, doing all making all the preparations, because at that point when I was going out and buying suitcases and all the stuff that I have to bring here, that was around the time when Nepal was at 2,000 cases per day. So that was a scary time.
Gotcha. And then, having made your way finally to Oswego, what is your advice for, any international student or any Oswego student wanting to go internationally these days?
Oh, I would just say go for it. It's great. It's a, you get to get an exposure to so many different cultures. I mean, one of the reasons I chose to study in America specifically is because it's just you just don't find a singular group of people here. There are people from so many different parts of the world, and even at Oswego, even Oswego is like, far from the city, it's way upstate, but there are so many people from so many places of the world. I have so many, as you know, Spanish friends. I have German friends. I have friends who are from Kazakhstan. I have friends who are from India, China, Korea, and there I have a lot of friends who are from New York City as well. And I met someone from Philadelphia a few weeks ago. So it's you get to meet so many people and get so many perspectives and see the world from their perspective as well, and as well as sharing your own experiences. So I would just say go for it. And I don't really have any advice. I'd just say prepare yourself for the amount of friendly people you're going to be exposed to, because as soon as I got here, I was actually scared by how friendly people were. People would just be like, "Hey, hi." People would make small talks. "How you doing?" And like, "I don't even know you. Oh, do I know you?" But then I kind of got used to it, and now I just really love it.
That's awesome. It's great to see, the contrast between cultures. And I think that's one of the things that make Oswego so rich. So yeah, no, thank you so much for joining the podcast to share your story on what it was like for you, traveling from Nepal, getting your visa in India and finally making your way here to Oswego.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time sharing my experiences.
Yeah, you have a great day.
You too.